Welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are broadcasting live from SkidRowStudios.com right here in downtown, and we are Real Radio on the Internet, and we're here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here to talk about what is the life of an entrepreneur. How do you get started? What are some of the challenges? How do you know when to recognize success? Just what is it all about? And I'm very excited that today I'm interviewing Ryan Larson. And I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm interviewing Ryan of The Educated Nanny. And I'm welcome. And
thank you.
Tell me your last name again.
It's Ryan Jordan with Educated Nanny.
Jordan, I'm so sorry.
I totally
messed up.
I've got baby brain. It's okay.
You know what? Well, I don't know what my excuse is, but anyway, welcome.
It's great to
and,
be here.
So what I like to do is just find out a little bit about you and how you got started on this journey. And so why don't you tell us a little bit, just a minute pitch on what it is that you do. And then let's kind of go back and talk about when you got started.
Sure. So I own Educated Nannies. I'm the founder of the company. And what we do is we're a full-service nanny agency in Los Angeles. And we service families who need nannies full-time and part-time, temp babysitting services, postpartum doulas, newborn care specialists, and homeschool teachers. So we do a wide range of child care.
Now, so going back, growing up, what did you think you wanted to do when you...
I guess when I grew up. I'm still growing up. I guess I always wanted to be an actress. That was originally what brought me to L.A. I loved making people laugh. And, I just loved drama and theater and everything that came with it. So that was the original thing that brought me to Los Angeles.
And you came from Wisconsin. We were just having a quick conversation before the show started that you came from Wisconsin. So that was kind of a big deal to come all the way out to L.A.?
It was a huge deal. I had lived a couple different places before L.A. I always knew that I needed to get out of small town Fond du Lac, which is where I was born and raised. I love the fact that I was born and raised there because I have good small town values and morals. Yet I always felt there was a bigger world with more opportunities out there. So making the jump to Los Angeles was definitely a big move. And I did it alone. I didn't have anybody that moved to Los Angeles with me. So it was definitely a growing and learning and eye-opening experience, that's for sure. And I probably scared the bejesus out of my mother.
Now, did you go to school? So you moved out here after high school or after graduating college? Or what?
Sure. So basically, my path to get to Los Angeles is an interesting route. I graduated at UW-Milwaukee in 3.5 years, and my original plan was I was going to be a news reporter. So I moved to Washington, D.C. to be a news reporter at Tribune Broadcasting, and that's where I did my internship. So I was on Capitol Hill during the impeachment hearings of the president.
Oh, my goodness.
It was my internship. So it was very interesting. And then I worked my way to Florida, where I was a news producer there for Florida's News Channel. And I wanted to be a news reporter. And then I moved up to Boston. I had an opportunity to do a reality-based TV show about people following their dreams. And mine was to be an actress. And I started there, and I think I spent 10 or 11 months there. And then I went to San Diego and started taking some acting classes. And
so doing a show about following your dream, you decided maybe you should follow yours?
Yes. It really inspired me to say, you know, I don't have to follow anybody else's dream. This is my path, and I always have a place to come home to. So why not take the opportunity and go for it? So I moved cross-country, and once I moved to L.A., it was full speed ahead, and then once I was in L.A., I went back to get my master's degree from Pepperdine University, and I was a school teacher, so.
So that's kind of, I don't know that there's any job that's safe, but so you became a school teacher, and so what led to the path of founding Educated Nannies? Because you're expecting your first child.
I am.
And so you didn't necessarily understand from first-hand basis what a mother goes through trying to scrounge around and find daycare or find childcare. So what led you to that point of deciding there is a niche here and there's a need for this?
Well, even though I'm not a mother yet, and I haven't been yet in my life, I was a nanny for 10 years. So being on the other side of the gate, I guess you could say, and entering that gate now as a woman, I felt that there was a need for quality childcare. And my nickname was the educated nanny. And whenever I would go for a job, families would say, this is what we need. We need somebody who has a teaching credential, who understands childhood development, who's kind, who's caring, who gets it, who's flexible, who, has fun with kids and inspires them, and they inspire you. And so I could see it all. And I was surrounded with a group of friends who were actually nannies, and we all kind of did it while we were doing something else. It was never our full-time career or passion. It was in our hearts, and it was, a job that we did in the summers, or then I was full-time transitioning and went back to teaching and back to being a nanny. But I always knew there was a need for solid childcare in LA with an educated nanny that takes it to the new level. It's not just somebody who's sitting, as the cliche on the TV, sitting on the couch watching TV with the kids and ignoring them on your iPhone. It's not
right.
Like that. It's more involved, more kinesthetic learning, more, just more of everything.
Yeah. Well, there's several things that, our past kind of helps to prepare us for our future. And so going into reporting, you definitely probably developed those investigative skills and have a good eye to seeing what's out there and what needs to be fixed.
I will reveal that my nickname for a long time before was the detective. My dad called me that. Ex-boyfriends have called me that. Friends have called me that. I'm very inquisitive. I ask a lot of questions, and I want to get in there. I'm not a very surface person. And being a news reporter, those skills came in line with that. However, being a news reporter was really negative.
Right.
I had a news director that was like, if it bleeds, it leads, people.
And you're very positive. Such a positive spirit.
Yeah, that didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
So that didn't lead for me. That actually led me out of the business.
But it really prepared you too, because as an entrepreneur, you have to be inquisitive. You have to dig deeper, and you have to get to the core of what it is that's needed. And so help to prepare you for that. And then I love that you did this show about finding your dream, and it helped you to go seeking yours, which our path is not always as perfect as this is what I want to do. I always wanted to do it, and this is what it is. But you have to be able to see opportunity, which you did through your profession of being a school teacher and your profession of being a nanny, and listening to your clients and finding out what do they need. Well, if they need this, there's only one of me, and how can I sort of clone me? And
also my background in acting. So many people say, "Well, you were an actress, and you didn't." I thought that was your dream, and you didn't move forward with that. And does that mean you failed? No, absolutely not. I think having those improv skills with children, you have to be able to think fast on your feet with kids.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to come up with resolutions and problem-solving skills, take over, and just fun activities. So I feel, and using crazy voices, that you can do, that I use for voiceover, that you can now use on animals with kids.
Yeah.
So I think everything kind of, led up to where I am today. If you asked me 10 years ago if I was going to own a nanny agency in LA, I probably would have said, oh, I don't think so. I'm probably going to have 3 children of my own, and, who knows? But I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's fabulous. But I just love that you recognize that opportunity. And a lot of times women, it's been said, will start a business from a place of pain or passion. And you really listened to your voice. You listened to what your clients were saying. Oh, you're educated. This is something we want. And just even being able to recognize the things that you were doing with the kids that made the parents happy, that made the kids happy, and having that community around you as well with your friends, and recognizing some of the things that they had to say. You know, coming up with the name is perfect. It's awesome. It's wonderful.
Thanks.
I wish I had had all of that whenever my children were growing up. But I think it's just seizing that opportunity, and that's what I want anyone who might be listening to take away from our show, is that there are opportunities out there all the time, and you really have to just kind of listen to your voice and listen to what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who is listening, I do want to let you know that this is a live show, and you can call in and ask questions of myself or Ryan. The number is 1-800-893-9562. And we would love to hear from you so they can call in and ask questions. But those are very important things to do, is to look for opportunities, listen to your voice, and be aware of what's going around you, solving a problem or filling a need. And that's exactly what you did. You did both, actually.
And I also think it's important to remember to create opportunity, because sometimes, you know, opportunities don't fall in your lap.
Right.
You can see that need out there, but you feel stuck. You don't know exactly where to go. You have this great idea. And a great idea in your bedroom is different than a great idea in the public space.
Right.
And you have to have no fear. I had an acting coach once, Anthony Mindell, who said, you just sometimes have to give fear the finger. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, you have to kind of do that in order to take a jump step ahead, and you have to start building opportunities and also recognizing when it's time to go forward, because timing is a big thing too. It's just finding that moment in your life where you're like, I am free to be me, and I'm free to take that leap ahead and take that leap of faith, and it's go time.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking action, dreaming about it, talking about it, that only goes so far. Mm-hmm. So you do have to take that action. The other thing that I really like about what you did, and I don't know if this is conscious or not, so we can talk about that, but you really found what your secret sauce was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the educated nanny, not just a nanny.
Sure.
That's going to take care of your child and as though it were their own, or love and compassion and those touch points that, of course, every parent wants. But also the fact that the education component.
Mm-hmm.
So was that a conscious decision?
You know, of course we'd all like to say that was a conscious decision. I planned this out. You know, it's all methodical. But it wasn't. You know, having my nickname be the educated nanny, that was kind of a joke and fun to do. And people kept saying to me, wow, you've really created a great brand. And I remember Googling brand and thinking to myself, well, how did I create this brand? How do I create a brand? Well, I don't want to create a brand. I want to create a person. Like, this is more than just a brand. This is somebody that's coming into children's homes and being part of a family and part of a team. So I took what I knew, and I took myself and my passions and just multiplied it. So for myself, I have super high expectations. For my nannies, I have really high expectations. They're all able to be met. But I just took what I knew and then expanded it. It wasn't like, oh, I have no clue what I'm doing. And I'm going to now, you know, develop a product that I have no attachment to. I think because I was so attached to kids, they inspired me. It was always their moments that they taught me something that inspired me. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't a plan of action. It just kind of moved forward in a natural progression.
Yeah, no, that's really, really important. So what did you major in? You majored in reporting in school.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't necessarily get those business skills.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this idea, oh, I want to start this business.
Yeah.
I call it Educated Nannies. I know what people need, so, and I know how to market. But what about all that other stuff?
Yeah. That was the terrifying stuff. The business side of it. I thought I should go back to business school. That's it. I'm applying at UCLA Anderson. I'm going to do this. And I already had my master's degree and some debt. So I was like, really? Do I really need to do that? And then I started talking to other people around me. And they said, Ryan, you have it in you. It's not something you can create or something that you can learn. There's always things to learn every single day in your life. But you have this in you. You have an entrepreneurial mind and a spirit. Go with it. So what I did was I took all the skills that I knew I had and I made a list of those skills. And I really moved forward with the skills that I had. Then I had an old boss that said to me, actually one of my mothers I nannied for who's really successful, said to me, when I started my company, I built a team of strengths and weaknesses. I was a strength, and everything that to me was a weakness, I hired that person around me. So I built a legal team. I made sure I had a really good lawyer. I made sure I had a really good web designer. I made sure that I have somebody who helps me with marketing, somebody who helps me with social media. You know, people would say, oh, you're great at social media. I'm like, I don't like doing it, though. I'm not one to sit on Twitter or Facebook or personally, but to go into a public domain and do all those things. So I did most of it myself the first 8 months, and I taught myself everything. I feel as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to wear many hats. So I taught myself accounting. I mean, there was 18-hour days where my husband would be like, you're still learning, you're still working. I would reach out to mentors. I would come to groups that you had with other female entrepreneurs. I was a sponge for my first year of business. Just learning and learning and learning and learning, and then take away, like, that didn't work. Trial and error. Oh, this works great. And after a year and a half, I feel like I have a really good groove. But it was challenging. And there are times when you feel like, oh my God, I just want to throw the towel in because this is overwhelming and I don't have all the answers. And God, I thought I knew more than I did. Well, I really don't know. But once you go from the unknown to that space of confidence, that's when you soar. And knowing your weaknesses. You know, you don't want to walk into a place and be like, I know it all and I can do everything. And no, be humble. Right.
Bravado is, it only goes so far.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just be humble and say, I don't know. Can you help me find the answer? Or being honest with your clients. You know what? I don't exactly know what that means for payroll and taxes because nannies are household employers. Let me find a company who does. So now I have them on my team of experts so that I can guide families in the right direction. Or you have an issue with your child with behavioral problems or something that's going on in the family household affecting the dynamics of your child, or the child lost a parent. Now I have a psychologist on our team, the nanny doctor, who is an expert, and I can refer people to her because I can't know everything, but right. I can build a team that knows everything.
Right. Well, such wise words. Very, very important for all entrepreneurs to take note. And we can't do it all. And we don't know it all. And when we focus on time, focus on doing things that are not in our interest or not in our skill set, one of the two, then we're really wasting time and we're not focusing on what our genius work is. So I admire that philosophy. I encourage that kind of philosophy, and it's obviously worked for you. So you started out kind of, you've been in business a year and a half?
Yep, a year and a half now.
And you've grown substantially. So what was it scary going in and opening up that first bank account and, and saying, well, I'm determined, I'm...
Yes, it was extremely terrifying, but that terrifying feeling that I know something bigger is around the corner. You know, your first fear is, am I going to be good enough? Am I enough? We're always enough. We are always enough. Your next fear is, do I have the finances to do this? Yes, you do. You make it happen. If you want it bad enough, you make it happen. You find a way.
Right.
You know, finding my first office space. I mean, where am I going to interview nannies? I'm not doing Starbucks. If you do Starbucks, great. Like, if you do a coffee house, that's great. Good. For me, I needed to be more professional than that. Plus, I don't like the smell of coffee. I might be the one human in the world that doesn't. But I'm not a big fan. So I thought I need to have a professional space that I can go into every day that is colorful and clean and safe and quiet so that
it's
I can
alignment
interview.
With who you are.
Yes. And also, I guess, quote unquote, now the brand of clean, simple, modest. Like, that's exactly yeah. what I want my nannies to be. And they are. And so it was very overwhelming, but so fun. It was so neat to meet with different bankers and talk to them. Like, I'm going in there so naive, like, great, I have these list of questions and, you know, met with different bankers to figure out how to accept different forms of payment. Setting up accounting, setting up payroll now because I have an employee. That was a big deal. How do you do that?
And billing. How do I get paid?
Billing.
It's one thing when it's just you
yes.
and they pay you at the end of the day
sure.
or the week. But
sure. And everything's legit. You know, I wanted everything to be in line with California law and who I am as a person and everything. So it was setting up that account that takes credit cards and just, you know, doing things electronically. We're in a very fast age now. I'm not faxing over forms to people. I'm electronically sending them. And they can fill them out electronically. That's easy for parents. My goal was to make everything easy for parents because everything in life is really hard when you're a parent.
It is.
Why yeah. not take some of that stress away and that daunting idea of hiring somebody and having to fill out paperwork and background checks and meet with 300 nannies and none of them work out and they don't know what to look for or what to screen for. So my job is to set them up for success. So I think with that ultimate goal in mind, that all of the steps, as terrifying as they were equally exciting. Every time I finished a new thing, I was like, yes, I can check that off my list. Yes, I did it. God, that was easier than I thought. The idea is what overwhelms us. The actual doing part is easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we're used to doing, but having all of a sudden having that kind of responsibility on you. So it's one thing when it's just you and you know what you're capable of and you know that you're going to take care of these kids to the best of your ability and you're going to provide, you know, that education, that honesty, that integrity, that fun, that all of those things. And then having that responsibility now of someone else providing all of those things.
Sure.
What's been the biggest hiccup?
I'm trying to think. The biggest hiccup.
Our listeners should know that I didn't give you any advance warning of what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. I guess the biggest hiccup for me was not going with my gut on one of the nannies. You know, she had a clean background check. She was a great interviewer. She did a great trial with the family. A trial is when the nanny actually goes into the home. And works with the child and the parent gets to see her in action. She was great on everything. However, and her references checked out great. However, when I met with her, I couldn't tell you what was off, but there was something off. And she ended up being a little mouthy on the job and she ended up being not as grateful as I hoped. And I guess it was one of those moments where I was like, there's a hiccup here. You know, I ended up having to make my first replacement after being open a year. And I was sad about it, but it was also a really big learning experience. I learned that if there's something off, my gut is always on.
It's right.
It is. And even though her references were great, and even though her background check was clean, and even though her interview went great, when she walked away, I looked at my placement specialist, Jenna, and I was like, there's something off about her. I can't figure it out. Like, and she was quintessentially great on paper, but there was that gut feeling that something was off, and I proved myself right. And I was so mad at myself. I was like, go with your gut, Ryan. Go with your gut. And it's okay. You know, you want to try to help everybody, but if something feels off, it feels off, and I just need to go with that.
Yeah, well, I think that's very important to recognize that our gut is right and to listen to that. Women, I do think, have an incredible innate sense, a heightened sense, if you will. But I also recognize, like when you just said, I was so mad at myself. And that's something that we need to work on, too.
Yeah.
And just recognizing that we've got to learn. You can't come out of the gate with everything and everything being spot on. So learning that lesson when it was in a not such a critical situation.
Yes.
really, I think, prepares you for preventing something bigger down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And now you will listen to your gut every time.
Always.
And if there's any kind of red flags going up, you'll pay attention to that. Whereas if you hadn't learned that lesson on something small, then it might have been much more catastrophic if you had had to learn it on something bigger.
Sure.
So...
And also empowering my mothers and fathers to listen to their gut instincts and their red flags. Because mind you, I'm not in these homes with these nannies.
Right.
I'm a referral agency. So I go based on, I meet them all face to face. But that's an hour and a half of a big picture. And I talk to 5 references. So I talk to 3 professional families they've worked for before. I talk to 2 personal references. But that trial period is a time for parents, too, to go with their gut. So it's also not just me, but empowering others to look for those red flags.
Well, like you said, not only empowering them, but also creating that communication between you and your clients
mm-hmm.
and your customers so that they feel comfortable. They know it actually goes back to your brand and what you stand for,
mm-hmm.
that we only provide the best and we ultimately look for complete satisfaction from you all. And if there's anything that's off or not right, giving them that permission to come and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what you said before, being mad at yourself is giving yourself permission to make mistakes that will ultimately make your company better and better and better.
Sure. I mean, we are our own worst enemy, that's for sure.
Well, we are, and we need to, it's important that we, because that can bog us down
mm-hmm.
whenever we just, well, I messed up here and I messed up here and tend to beat ourselves up. There's a great book, and I can't remember who the author is, called Fail Forward. Mm-hmm. And it just means, you know, we've got to have these things that happen that, like I said, prepare us for improving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to mess up like that.
Yeah.
You know, you did everything right. You know, you didn't know what your gut was trying to tell you. Now you'll know, you know.
Now I know.
And that's all good. So it's okay to make those kind of mistakes and not beat ourselves up for it.
Sure.
You know. So and that's what I would love any listeners to take away from this.
Absolutely.
What's been the greatest success?
I will say this. We are on the cusp of placing our 100th nanny.
Ooh, that's exciting.
So for me, I mean, there's been so many cool opportunities. You know, we're going to be at the Emmy gifting suite, and we've done the Oscars, and I have been surrounded by love and wonderful nannies and wonderful families, but placing a nanny in a home and having her be happy and the thank you cards I get from the nannies or the phone calls I get from the parents or even the children. Like, I really love her. She's so much fun. She taught me something. Here's a bracelet, you know, that she taught me how to make. Those are my greatest successes. It's not one overall thing. I like to call them small victories. So every day there's like a little bit of a small victory where I hear from someone. So that to me is when we place that 100th nanny, I'm hoping it will be this week, fingers crossed. We placed 99 yesterday, so that to me is the most exciting thing. That's the greatest happiness for me, is that I've helped 100 families and 100 nannies find quality, you know, nannies quality jobs or their dream job, and families quality childcare. So to me, that's the greatest success.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. And I'm sure that will happen very, very quickly.
Thanks.
So, again, I want to let any listeners know, if you'd like to call in, the number is 1-800-893-9562. You can call in and you can talk to us about how to hire a nanny through Educated Nannies. But you can also talk to us about entrepreneurship and some of the challenges that we face and some of the successes and just what the life of an entrepreneur is like. So is this a year and a half in? Did you do a business plan?
Yes, I had a loose business plan. But remember, I didn't go to business school, so it's not like I had this big business plan. I had a loose model. I knew my core values. I knew how I wanted to set up my business. I knew what streamlining was. I knew these little skills. So if you asked if I had a full-on business plan, if I handed you something, it would be amateur. But I had something that made sense to me. And
right.
made sense to others when I shared my idea. And that was enough for me to move forward.
And that's great, because some people do think, especially if you haven't been to business school or whatever, it's like, oh my God, I can't do this because I don't have that business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to do that business plan. And it sounds so overwhelming and big deal that they don't do the business plan, and therefore they don't do the business. But I loved what you just said, that I had something that worked for me and it helped you to understand, and it helped others that you needed to bring into the bigger picture to share with, that they understood what it is that you were going for.
Sure.
Was there anyone that said, I don't see this happening, I don't see this working, you're taking on a lot of responsibility, a lot of I can't think of the right word right now, but you know, where you have to be fearful, obviously, of any kind of legal repercussions if something should happen.
Sure. You know, Jan, I have to be honest. When I told people my plan, people would say, that makes perfect sense for you. That makes sense. My husband was so supportive. He was like, absolutely. I mean, I quit a job, Jan, with full-time hours and full benefits and not knowing in a blink of an eye to take this leap of faith. And even if I would have had those naysayers, I was afraid I was going to hurt people's feelings or make people mad, because other people I knew in LA I had worked for as a nanny who owned nanny agencies or were starting an agency or a babysitting service. However, I couldn't let that stop me from pursuing my dream. It's okay if we all have the same dream. And my philosophy has always been, there's enough room for good people that offer a good service. So I had to keep that in mind. But honestly, Jan, I feel really lucky that I didn't have anybody that said, you can't do this. Everyone's like, oh, I totally believe in you. You got this. You go, girl. Like, this is exactly what you should be doing. God, you should have done this 10 years ago. Just like I should have gotten married 10 years ago. You know, so I hate to say that. I wish I had a story, because I know that naysayers and negativity is more likely than what my journey was. I do know that, because I saw it in the acting world. You know, I've seen it in every world. I think I just got to a place in my life that confidence took over. And
well, when you know it, you know,
you know. Yeah.
Some things there are questions, and you might need to listen to your gut, or you need to tweak it, or you need to do whatever, but you knew it. You knew there was a need, and that you were solving a problem and fulfilling a need for your potential clients out there.
Yes.
And it doesn't always have to be that way, that you have naysayers. I mean, sometimes naysayers are good, because they make you look at it in a different way. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad idea. It just means that you might need to look at it in a different way.
Sure.
But you knew your product and your service far better than anyone else, and it fit you, and it's part of your story and bringing this to the public. So when you put together this kind of plan, are you where you thought you would be?
I've exceeded where I thought I would be. I can't believe I'm here today talking to you. I can't believe that I'm about to place 100 nannies. I can't believe that this many people have trusted me. I can't believe I found this many awesome nannies. I can't believe I have an employee after 9 months. I can't believe I spoke at the International Nanny Association. I can't believe I was written up in the Huffington Post. All of these things are unbelievable to me. And each day I wake up, I'm absolutely grateful. And I may take 15 steps backwards tomorrow, but I'm grateful for what opportunities have been brought my way. And I'm just happy that you know, a friend said to me the other day, you know, you've had great success with educated nannies. You've been more successful with educated nannies than anything in your life. It must be meant to be. And I said, you know what? I have to agree. It hasn't come easy, but from an outsider looking in, it looks like it's come easier. I've worked harder at this than anything else in my life. I mean, I worked.
And probably loved it more.
Yes. Honestly, I mean, there are days where I get 3 hours of sleep, but
that's going to happen a lot
yes.
coming up very soon.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe this is just God's way of preparing me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But honestly, it doesn't feel like work to me. Every time I pick up my phone, I'm like, who's calling? How can I help them? Oh, I've got another idea. Or, you know, some days I just am exhausted and I just, you know, but every day I love it. My job changes every single day. There's not one day that's the same.
That's the exciting thing about entrepreneurship. I know someone said something to me. I recently went on a vacation and someone said something about, oh, that's great. You really deserve a vacation. And I said, I know this sounds really weird, but I feel like I'm on vacation every day.
That's awesome. I wouldn't go that far. I don't feel like that. Your brain never shuts off as an entrepreneur.
No, it doesn't.
Even when you're on vacation?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I'm more terrified about being a new mom and having a newborn, because how do you shut off?
Yeah.
When you have a business, there's no off days, quote unquote. I mean, you can kind of decide when to check your email and check in, but you're never fully out of the game.
Just
shut
think
down.
Of this as like your second child.
Sure. Yeah. Educated nannies was my first baby.
So exactly. So this is your second child coming. And and the thing about motherhood when you have more children is you just have more capacity to love and you learn how to manage mm-hmm. manage more things.
Sure. But, multitasking will
but,
be.
But it is great if you're in that place of where you love it. And I really do feel that way. And I know it just sounds incredibly weird. And that doesn't mean that there aren't days that I just work so, so hard. Mm-hmm. But I still love it. And so to me, that's vacation, because loving where you're at and doing what it is, then it's, to me, that's like vacation.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the point of life? Love mm-hmm. what you do and do what you love?
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
I mean, it's, yeah. You got to do it.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, you have an office, so that probably mm-hmm. helps. Now you have employees, and that probably helps. But how do you get motivated every day? And are you one of those that just set a schedule from the very beginning?
I let the schedule set me. In the beginning, I just had an open schedule, which I will advise against. I think that you need to have boundaries for yourself and, like you said, for other people. So now instead of, you know, my eyes open at 5:30 a.m., don't ask me why, all of a sudden I'm jotting down notes and I'm thinking of things. No more of that. I wake up. I don't check my email. I either do yoga first thing in the morning. I have my cup of tea. I journal. I look at positive affirmations. I set my intention for the day. Then around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I say, okay, now it's time.
I'm open for business.
Because if you start at 5:30, 6 a.m., you don't stop until 7 or 8 p.m. It becomes addicting. You become obsessed with your business, and before you know it, the day's over. And so by scheduling things, I think it really helps set boundaries to stay healthy, to stay happy, and to have a life outside of work. And it, you know, your first year as an entrepreneur, you don't have that. I didn't learn this till year two. My first year was work, 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 work. I was a workhorse, finding and growing and reading. And, you know, I didn't do a lot of things other than work, which is fine. I mean, if I have to give up one year of my life of socializing to build my dream, I'll take it. I'll give it 5 years. I don't care. But setting boundaries was a really big thing for me, and setting a schedule, because a lot of entrepreneurs can work from home. A lot of entrepreneurs are out in the field. You know, I'm in my office 3 days a week.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I'm in my office 3 days a week. I do home visits 1 day a week, and I'm in my home office 1 day a week. That way I can interview nannies, I can work on marketing, I can advise my employee, Jenna. So it's, I have a very great scheduling system now, and I think it works well.
What was that aha moment that said, oh, I need to put a schedule in place?
My husband had made dinner reservations for us, and I worked through them. And I realized that he is my foundation, that I didn't eat that day, and I almost missed dinner with my husband. And you get in the zone. And I realize, one, hello, you need to eat. Like, this is before pregnancy. Thank God. I eat a lot now. But also how important he is and how important just sitting down and talking to somebody about not your businesses. There are so many other things going on in this world going on. And to take an interest in that was really important for me. So that was kind of my aha moment.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. And we all tend to get caught up in, well, I'm just going to finish this last contract, or sure, I'm just going to make this last phone call, or I've got 5 emails I've got to respond to. And yep, if I don't do it, it'll take me just a minute.
It's an hour.
Yes, yes. And so I think it's very important to kind of set that schedule and recognize that it's not, the business will come. Mm-hmm. If we run it right and we do it right, the business will come. And making that last, working through dinner or missing our child's soccer game or missing dinner with the husband, it's not worth it. It'll all still be there tomorrow. It's laundry. It's still there.
You're right.
And it's not going to really make any difference if you fold it all tonight, or, it might make you feel better, but you got one more thing off your list, but there's still going to be a list tomorrow. And so organizing your time and being smart about it, and also allowing for that extra time for you to refresh and help those creative juices flow. Those are important, just as important.
Very important. And I think female entrepreneurs, I know for myself, I'm a control freak with myself. If you asked any of my employees or families I work with, I don't micromanage anyone. I have trust and belief in them that I've properly screened them and they're going to do a good job. I check in every 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, just to see how everything's going. However, with ourselves as women entrepreneurs, I think a lot of times we control a lot of things. We have to control things for us, and we think we have to see it a certain way and has to be done a certain way, and type A personalities are flourishing and all of these things. And you realize that you just have to let it go, because you can only control so much. And honestly, a lot of times it does not matter if you get it finished at that second or finished 3 hours later. So when you're in a business of service, yes, it feels good to be at people's beck and call, but you need to be at your own call as well. Mm-hmm. And remember that, you can't control everything. It's just, you have to let it go.
And we teach people how to treat us too. So it's one thing if it's an emergency. I'm sure you're always available for that.
Absolutely.
But it's another thing when it's just, some casual question, but somebody's calling at 8 o'clock when mm-hmm. now you may be putting your child to bed or having dinner with your husband, mm-hmm. and it's nice to set those boundaries, with yourself, but for other people too.
Sure. Very true.
So was it difficult to come to delegate and to let go of being that perfectionist and being in control?
I'll never let it go, Jim. Let's be honest. I'll never let it go. I am a perfectionist. I am a type A personality. And I think there's a lot of strengths that come with that. Do I self-help and try to, change some of those things? Absolutely. Because, especially with children, when I was a nanny, I was less controlling than I am now. Way less controlling, because kids control the day for you.
Yes, they do.
They do. And it's actually great because you don't have to worry about controlling the day. The day controls itself if you set boundaries and rules. But have that flexibility. So I think becoming a mother will be the most beautiful thing for me because I have somebody else that's so precious and has so much to learn and so much to be taught running my day so that I get to come last. I don't have to worry about, oh, what do I need to do for me today? I don't need to do anything for me. I need to make sure my business is running. I need to make sure that, you know, the integrity is at the highest level. And I'll make sure my child is fed and taught and we have fun together and all those things. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, they do have a way of teaching you those kind of things where you learn to be a lot more patient. the lessons that you learn from being a mother will certainly apply to your business.
Sure.
And the lessons that you've learned in your business will certainly be, especially your business, mm-hmm. will be very helpful in raising your children. What do you think your greatest strength is?
Communication. I believe that a lot of times in life things go wrong because of miscommunication. So I like to overly communicate. I'm a talker. I ask questions. I'm a big listener. And my passion.
Which probably stems a lot from your background too of being an investigative reporter.
Yeah, I you know, that's hard, you know, but I do know that it's hard to pinpoint your strengths, but I would definitely say that communication and just that ability to recognize a need and help guide somebody in a compassionate way. I would say I'm a big lover.
And what would you say that your greatest weakness is?
Personalizing things. Sometimes in business, you have to understand it's just business. However, that's really hard for me to separate when there's kids involved. And these are private households and that I'm going into and I'm seeing things. So, it's personalizing things. Like if a mom calls and she wasn't as happy with her nanny as we had hoped, or she wanted her nanny to do something else or be more, you know, instead of just, you know, getting off the phone and saying, okay, you know what, that's an easy fix. I can talk to the nanny about that. Sometimes I can personalize it like, oh, why didn't I see that? How did I not stop that in advance? How could I have guided her better? You know, I have to just step outside of the situation. You know, but personalizing things for sure. It's definitely my biggest weakness, but I'm working on it.
And is it difficult, you know, with some brands like Mercedes or, you know, cars or I've actually never quite understood this with like clothing brands, but there's that certain element of quality that you don't necessarily have to educate the consumer about the, I'm not sure exactly how I'm trying to ask this question, but I'm just thinking about your clients. Do they automatically understand the quality and the need for having an educated nanny versus like treating someone that, oh, I just need someone to watch my kid
sure.
for a couple of hours and I don't know why I'm having to, and understanding that quality that's there. Is there a certain education that you have to educate your clients?
I do. Both. I would say it's 50-50. People who have already had a nanny in their life understand that need for an educated nanny. Many times we get calls from parents who've had a nanny for 4 or 5 years in their house, but she's not able to drive. She's her education level isn't to a point where she can really teach the children anything new. It's basic, you know,
childcare.
Education level. Sometimes the nanny doesn't speak fluent English. So Now the child knows more vocabulary words than the nanny. So the parent recognizes it. They recognize they need the change. Now there's other families that call that say, you know, we both have college degrees. We want our nanny to have a college degree. This is what I need. Then I get the calls, why do I need an educated nanny? Just because she has a college degree doesn't mean she can take care of kids better than my nanny who doesn't. She could be absolutely right. However, if you're setting the foundation for being a role model for a child, I truly believe that having a college degree as well as 5 years of childcare experience, not just the college degree, and if your degree is in child development or teaching or psychology, then it even helps you more. I mean, more knowledge is never going to hurt you. Plus, it shows dedication. You worked through something. You accomplished a goal. This is your goal. You're a professional child care provider. So I think that's the best part of my job is when I get to educate families and nannies. That's the most exciting thing for me is that when I get to teach them something new. But I never tell people what they need. I just try to educate them on their options and then they figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Well, we only have a few more minutes left here. But I wanted to know if there's something that, like, if you were starting out today, what you would tell yourself about your business, and then what would be the greatest piece of advice that you might give in a more general term to entrepreneurs? So
if I could tell myself today, I would just say, take a chance. Most times things go better than you could have imagined. You know, and it's a really good opportunity to grow. So just go for it. Put that fear
aside. Don't
worry. Yeah, don't worry. Put the fear aside. Just do it. And then your next question was just general advice for anybody, or I'm sorry, for anybody starting a business. I'm
an entrepreneur.
So,
well, I mean, you have great advice. I've always loved talking to you. And I think any advice that you had for us on any kind of term would be great. But more like the best advice that I would give someone who wanted to become an entrepreneur, or if they're already in it, what's your best entrepreneurial advice?
My best advice for an entrepreneur, I make lists. So I'd probably make a list of like, these are your top three things you should do. So one, believe in yourself. That's it. Two, surround yourself by positive people who believe in you.
And I love that you just said that, because whenever we were talking before and I asked if there were naysayers and you said no, I meant to say, it sounds like you're surrounding yourself with very positive people, and that's so important.
It is. You know, they say you are the people who you surround yourself with. Go for it. And number three, be gentle with yourself. That sounds so nerdy, I guess.
But it's so true. And we've even talked about it during the show today.
Sure.
That we do tend to beat ourselves up for the things that we haven't done up to whatever bar we've set.
Yeah. Don't let your past decide your future. Whatever happened to you is gone. It's not who you are. Don't label yourself. Label yourself. Put the labels on yourself, if you're going to do that you want to be. Keep growing and learning and having fun and be willing to change. Be a chameleon. Go with it and adapt and flow. And I mean, I think anybody can be an entrepreneur.
I agree. Well, Ryan Jordan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having
Your
me.
Words of wisdom, I think, are beneficial for everyone. And I've learned a lot. And I think our listeners have learned a lot. And I wish you much success in the coming days as your business continues to grow. And I have a feeling we'll be hearing about educated nannies all over.
Yes. And anybody
all over the world.
Anybody who's interested, go to www.educatednannies.com. I'm always here to answer questions if you have them and guide you in the direction of child care.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jan.